about snowmobiling and drinking water when I was sick. If you want to hear it, I'll tell you. It was gross. It was the grossest thing ever. I don't know why water does that. At least it does it to me. But if I'm sick, and I am, it'll come right up. All right, I'm not sitting because my back is bad or my knee is bad. I'm just sitting because I don't have energy to stand. So hopefully I can sit enough and keep my energy up so it won't be too bad. Today is the last Sunday of December, and we will assemble again the next time. It'll be 2020. And January 1st, we'll be here Wednesday night. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, he said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, I realize that that context is in the context of communion. But a good thing to do, I think, at the end of the year is a good self-examination. What's wrong with a self-examination? Where did you fail the Lord, and where are you growing in the Lord? What's the Lord teaching you? What's the Lord showing you? Where am I growing in the Lord? What's the Lord showing me? So we take a spiritual inventory of last year. Now, if you would, look at one other passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a faith test. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now, that's a faith test. And Paul told the Corinthian church to examine themselves to see if they were in the faith. And so today, I would like us to do a spiritual inventory of 2019. Spiritually, where did I fail? Spiritually, where did you fail? Spiritually, where did I grow? Spiritually, where did you grow? By the way, you say, well, I've grown here, here, and here. Isn't that prideful? Not really. If you make a sane assessment of what the Lord has done for you, that's not prideful. Or you might make an assessment of areas in your life where you know you failed in and you were weak in. Turn to Romans 12, and you might decide to make some commitments at the beginning of the year and say, Lord, I'm going to do a little bit better job here. Now, I want you to notice in Romans 12, the first verse. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So this is actually Paul's begging them. The beseech is to beg. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when we look at this, it says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. Don't go along with the world's ways. Don't have the philosophy of the world. Don't be carnally minded like the world. Don't involve yourself in the world systems or embrace the world system is a better way to say that. What is the world thinking? The world thinks this. Well, what is in this for me? Or how does this help me? That's not a good way to think. That's not even a biblical way to think. So the world thinking is this. So we're coming up on New Year's Eve, and they're going to bring in the new year with a drunken party and everything that's associated with it. That's how the world thinks. And some of you are bringing in New Year's with us. You'll be here on Wednesday night for church service, a prayer meeting. There'll be churches all over the place. I'm not a big fan of New Year's Eve services, but a lot of churches do New Year's Eve services, and then they bring in the year in prayer, and then everybody just dismisses and goes home a little after midnight. I'm not a fan of maybe drunk drivers being on the road at Christmas and New Year's Eve. That's just my own thinking. You do whatever you want to do. But don't go out and get drunk, by the way. You know, don't take that literally and say, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. And that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, be careful out there. So we're to be transformed, it said in verse 2, by the renewing of our mind. So I change my mind to think like God, and quite honestly, some of us need that. We need mind renewal. We need to change our mind on things to learn to think like God. How did you do last year? How did you grow spiritually last year? What were areas the Lord was working in your heart? What areas of your life did you grow in? How about in your thought life? Perhaps You've never done what it said in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Maybe you've never done that. So maybe a good way to start this year is to present your bodies a living sacrifice for the Lord. There are two things mentioned here, a change of mind and a change of life. What you do with your body is to be, it's not to be worldly, read it one more time, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, excuse me, we are to have a transformed mind and a transformed life. There are too many so-called Christians who don't have a transformed mind or a transformed life, especially in the area of holiness. Now, I can recall, and some of you maybe can as well, that when I first got saved, that I knew I had sinned indeed. And I knew the deeds in which I had sinned. I mean, they were kind of obvious. And I didn't want that in my life any longer. So I presented my body to God as a living sacrifice, and I did what I could do with the help of the Lord to clean my life up. And then I learned I sinned in thought. I knew I had problems in my thought life as well. Negative thoughts, immoral thoughts, judgmental thoughts, thoughts of anger, thoughts of jealousy. At that time, I did not know a lot of scripture. But I did know, and I hope this is true for you, I did know that I wanted to please the Lord. I knew that. And I learned if I had to change the way I live and change the way I think, I would. I made a commitment to do that back when I was a new Christian. Some of you think, and I've heard people say this, well, this is who I am and I can't help it. That's not necessarily true. With God's help, you can change your mind. You can change your thinking. I can't help the way I think. Yes, you can. If my spouse were only like so-and-so, you can't change your spouse. You know that? You can only change yourself. You can't change the way they think. You can't change the way they act. The only person that you can change is you can change yourself. Paul said, examine yourself. He didn't say examine your wife. He didn't say examine your husband. He said examine yourself. Look with me at one other passage, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't know if I'm running a fever or not, but man, is it like hot in here? Oh, gee, I'm burning up. Verse 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, see that? And hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. You can have power over your own will. As I study the scripture and I faithfully attend church and worship, my sinful actions and thoughts become more and more like Christ, and I'm transformed into his image by the word of God. So here's the first question, and I'll get to some thoughts here in just a moment. As you look back in 2019, how much time did you spend in the Word of God? Because if you're going to change the way you think and you're going to change the way you live, it has to be based on the Word of God. Now, as I grow in grace, as I do my responsibility, then I'm changed. Because God has promised to give me all that I need to grow, and God's not the problem, I'm the problem. So I had to change the way I thought, and I had to adopt new thoughts. Now, here are some thoughts that I want to give you for this year. There's 7, 8 of them. The first one is this. God is always good. Now, that's not a new thought. We've said that here a lot. But God is always good, even when it doesn't look like he's good, and even when things look bad. God is still good. God is working a master plan. You say, what is it? I don't know. I think I preached a while ago here that there's the sovereign will of God. We don't know the sovereign will of God. But there is a group of people that haven't learned that God is good. In fact, some people say, well, this isn't fair. Well, that's not fair. I don't deserve this. Those people don't deserve this. They don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Why not? Why are you so much better than everybody else? Well, it's just not fair. We live in a fallen world. God is good all the time. Put that in your thinking. Adopt that thinking. Even when you don't see it, God is still good. Secondly, here's another thought for this year. I am to obey God whether I feel like it or not. I'm to go to church whether I feel like it or not. I'm to be honest whether I feel like it or not. I'm to be kind whether I feel like it or not. I'm to witness whether I feel like it or not. I'm to obey Him whether I feel like it or not. Here's a third thought. Being oversensitive and dwelling on hurt feelings is a manifestation of sinful pride. You know, you can't let your feelings get hurt all the time and just stay like that. Some things should be obvious. Some things you just have to give to God, or you have to forgive, and you have to move on. Being oversensitive and dwelling on hurt feelings is a manifestation of sinful pride. Fourthly, these are obvious, but they're good to mention from time to time in the world in which we live, because it's crazy. The feminist agenda is wrong, the homosexual agenda is wrong, and the transgender agenda is wrong as well. You say, well, Pastor, why would you mention that? Because some churches are embracing that. It's unbelievable, but they are. In fact, did anybody see this other than me? Christianity Today, which is a very liberal Christian periodical, they were trying to, and I don't know that anybody in our church would be this way, they were trying to say, here is why they should impeach President Trump. Now, they're supposed to be evangelical Christians. My thinking and their thinking isn't even on the same page. In fact, they have taken a lot of backlash from more conservative Christians for that article that they wrote on that. Dr. Dobson, I mean, he was all over them. Though there were several other big groups that are all over them. But here's the thing. People don't think biblically, and certainly they don't think with the Bible in view. And it's like they don't even, maybe they got such a bad screwed up Bible that's why they can't think right. But I don't know what the problem is, but they just have it all messed up. So they're all wrong. And churches are embracing it. Number five, we don't worship the earth. That's a big deal today too. Let's worship the earth. Number seven, I'll go on. Or six. There are not many ways to God. There's only one way to God. Seventhly, God is in charge, whether you like it or not. God is in charge. And I think a good New Year's thought is this. The fact that God is perfectly holy. And I think because people have a lack of appreciation for the holiness of God, they get messed up in their thinking. A lot of us act like God isn't really in charge because they don't see the holiness of God. He is holy in word. He is still holy in thought. He is holy in action. And He will not sacrifice His holiness on the altar of His love. So I think our minds are transformed when we get a proper view of God's holiness. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 2. A good Bible example is Daniel and the three Hebrews on how to really take a stand and have an appreciation for the holiness of God. In Daniel chapter 2, I'll read most of the chapter, but not all of it, and I will interpret some of it, but not all of it. The king had a dream. Now look what he said in verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans and to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. Now, it's a radical dream that he has. King Nebuchadnezzar evidently got up on the wrong side of the bed that day, and he's got bad news for everybody, including Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Daniel is going to turn to God for help and ask for compassion from God, and God gave it. Now, I want you to skip down to verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, There is no king, Lord, nor ruler that asketh such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Now, what do you want him to do? He said, I can't remember the dream. Tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation. Now, that's a radical thing. I know I had a dream, but I can't remember it. So I want you guys to tell me. And they couldn't. And so it's like, okay, the king is really, really upset with that. Look at verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. You can't tell me what I dreamed. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to slay you. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain as well. Now go down to verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he should give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel goes in and says, King, give me a little time. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. So they're going to pray about it. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And you know what happened in verse 19? God answered. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now watch verse 20. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth that it is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. You see how Daniel saw God? Who did Daniel give all the credit to? God. He didn't take any credit for himself. He gave it all to the Lord. Now let's move ahead in this story. You can read the rest of it. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest what the stone was cut out of the mountain, this dream had a bunch of metal and stuff in it. I probably should have mentioned that earlier. And for as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the lion, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass thereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods. So Daniel went to God. God showed Daniel the dream. Daniel got the interpretation of the dream, and it is not my total purpose to interpret this, but I will do some. The dream was about a strange statue that was made of different kinds of metals, gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Each part represented an earthly kingdom that would eventually end, but God's kingdom would remain forever. You'd have thought, after verse 47, that Nebuchadnezzar would have worshipped the God. He said, Your God is the God of gods, the great God of Daniel. But he didn't. In fact, he did the opposite. He had a 90-foot statue of himself self-built so that everybody could worship his statue. Now, how did he do that after he confessed and recognized Daniel's God, the true God? The same way that you do and most of all others do it as well. They really don't have appreciation for the holiness of God. That's how he did it. So in verse 47, this is what I think, the king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing he could have revealed this secret. He said, I think your God exists. It doesn't make him a follower of God. Didn't make him a disciple. Didn't make him a Christian, if we could use a modern word. But he had no respect for the holiness of God. And so he built this big statue, and he wanted everybody to bow to the statue. Daniel and his friends, they wouldn't do it. Because if they did that, it would be compromise. Now, here's how people think when I say they don't have an appreciation for the holiness of God. Well, compromising beats dying, doesn't it? Not always, no. It doesn't. These four had respect for God's holiness. So Daniel and his friends wouldn't bow and worship the statue. Some of the jealous Babylonians took advantage of this opportunity, and they told the king. Now the king was upset that these guys wouldn't bow down. He ordered the three to be bound by ropes and thrown into the fiery furnace. But first he gave them another chance. Look at chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and we will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. King says, bow down. You know what they said? Not happening. We're not going to compromise that truth. They said, God is able, but if not, we're still not going to bow down. Their faith in the danger, in the face of danger, is unshakable. Now, how'd they do that? They had a proper view of God, and they had a proper view of God's holiness. Some think this way. I'm more valuable to God alive than I am dead. And with that thinking, it justifies the compromise. I'll just bow down. I won't mean it. I don't want to be labeled a religious nut, you know. I'll talk like the world. I don't want them to think I'm out there, and I'll be, you know, immoral like they are to some degree or another. But, you know, just being all this separated stuff, I don't know. No respect for God, for God's holiness. And in this case, God did deliver them. Now the king is upset, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire flew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you know that's a hot fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. Now, how's this happen? How does this happen? A fear of the Lord, a reverence for God's holiness, a desire not to compromise, a proper view of God, and a proper holy respect of God. Time went on. This got Nebuchadnezzar's attention. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a testimony they had for the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. How's your testimony? When your name is brought up somewhere, what is your testimony? Is it godly? Do they say, that guy respects God? I don't agree with him, and he lives his lifestyle different than me, or that girl lives different than me, but you know what? I respect him. They love the Lord. They love holiness. They have an appreciation of it. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. This was about a fruitful tree that was chopped down by some sort of an angel. A stump was left, and look there at chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. Nevertheless, leave the let me back up. No, that's all right. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be with the dew of heaven, and let this portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from men's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now that was prophesied against Nebuchadnezzar. Once again, only Daniel could interpret this, and Daniel was shocked. Look at verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And so he gives the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't know if you know this, so let me read it. Verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew, was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven and their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches into heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew thee down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and of brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of the heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. And so here's what Daniel says, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with dew of a heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in that kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So this is the interpretation. Well, the king didn't take Daniel's advice. Look at verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? And I have built for the house of the kingdom of the might by my power and for the honor of my majesty. You see, I in my. What's the problem? The problem is pride. The problem is no respect for God's holiness and no respect for God, no fear of the Lord, no respect for the holiness of God, and no understanding that God really rules. Now look at verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like the bird's claws. Now that's quite a sight right there. Now that happened. God humbled that man because he wasn't where he should have been. Now let me read a few more verses. Verse 34. At the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and doth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I guess so. He got a hold of Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he? And all of us need to have an appreciation for God's holiness. We need to have a good fear of the Lord. I want you to turn to one last passage, Philippians chapter 3. And now Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, they had a proper view of God. What is your view of God? How do you view God? That's what we need, a respect for him. a fear of him, appreciation of his holiness and his love. Let me read this, verses 13 and 14 of Hebrews 3. What did I say? Don't go to Hebrews. Philippians 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now he said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. I'm going to forget all the bad things. I'm going to forget all the nonsense things. I'm going to forget all the sin. I'm just going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to let it go. But this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. You've got to let go of your past. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then he says this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's my life verses. If you have not lived your life as God being your number one passion, you can. 2020 starts. Verse 13, here's one thing you need to do. Just forget your past failures. Got any failures in your life? Give them to God. Just lay them down. Get over them. Ever let God down? Forget about it. Have I ever let God down? Oh, yes. Got any hurts? Somebody hurt you? Your spouse hurt you? Your children hurt you? You got any bitterness going on? You got to give it to the Lord. Don't pick it back up either, by the way, when you lay it down. I don't care how big the failure, the hurt, give it to God, forget it, and don't allow it to affect you, and don't allow it to ruin your life, and get on for the glory of God. That ought to be our attitude going into 2020. Let me read verse 13, the end of it again. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Do something for the glory of God and the good of others in 2020. Reach forth. Now, and do what it says in verse 14. Press. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Where is your allegiance? What is your allegiance to? It'll be seen in how you respond to life circumstances. God doesn't want me to suffer, does he? He may. Where is your number one passion? Is it your desire to worship the Lord, honor the Lord, respect the Lord, have a good fear of the Lord, have a respect for his holiness in 2020? Let me ask you this, like Nebuchadnezzar, are you guilty of seeing God work and do great things and then forgetting God? Not worshiping, not being all that God desires, not being dedicated. What's your attitude toward heartache and trials? You know what, some people? Why me? Then they go into this pity party. Why not me? Why not you? Are we any better than anybody else? Not really. Do you respect him and his holiness enough to be obedient and do right regardless of the outcome? Or do you have a fear of man? Now, we started in Romans 12. With Daniel, it started in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. He made a commitment, a dedication to God somehow. And are you over your sensitive and dwell on past failures and hurts? Just give it to God. Make a commitment to God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. Just do it. By the way, finally, Nebuchadnezzar recognized God, but he didn't respect him. He didn't know him, and because he was full of pride. God finally broke him. I will be teaching four lessons in the next four Sunday mornings, Lord willing, anyway, on what does it take, what will it take God to get you to say yes? Or what will God, how will God break you to get you to say yes to him? I'll tell you who I'll be preaching through. I'll be preaching through the little book of Jonah. I don't know that Jonah ever really did say yes. Now, anyway, yes, 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 Lord, I'm going to just do it the way you want me to do it. I don't think he ever did. I think God broke him, got him in a fish's belly, but he didn't break him. So I'll be preaching four lessons on that starting next Sunday morning, Lord willing. But what's it going to take for God to get you to respect him and honor him and live for him? Maybe you can say the right things, and you know what the right thing is to do. But are you doing the right thing? I want to pray, Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church to have a fear of you, a respect of you, a respect of your holiness, a desire not to compromise, to walk in good godliness and righteousness and holiness, to bring glory to yourself at our expense. God, I pray you would use us in a mighty way to win souls, to reach others, to worship you. May every person here examine themselves and do a spiritual inventory of 2019. And if they see some victories, they can praise your name. And if they see some failures, they just got to give them over to you and move on. And I pray every one of us will do that. We'll start fresh. We'll start anew in 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Examine yourself.